free bottles of liquid zeolite.
Into space and going off for the chore at the International Space Station and the four spacewalks. That was all part of it. There's one left. One left. That's the Atlantis. So if you've never seen a shuttle launch, this is it. And the Atlantis is on the pad getting ready here. So it's just a matter of time. Then that's it. We have nothing else to go up into space because now it's all about what direction is NASA going to take. And getting ready for the next stop, but nothing ready to go as of at this time. So you think about it, it's been decades, like 30 some years. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Wow. As always, happy to be with you, Kate Delaney here at the helm. The big buzz across the nation seems to be over, what do you think Sarah Palin and Donald Trump talked about when they had dinner with their families? What were they talking about over pizza? So what happened was Palin is touring around the country, a lot of historical sites, and they stopped in New York and had a meal with Donald Trump. I'm thinking, as much as there's all this speculation about running for president, that this is a way for the Donald to kind of get in there and see what Sarah Palin's about a little bit for a possible celebrity apprentice deal. I don't know if Sarah Palin would do that, though. Would it really be worth it for her to jump on Celebrity Apprentice? Or is it more about you're going to run, I'm going to help you raise some of that money, because Trump certainly has friends that can raise the kind of money she would need to go against an incumbent president in Barack Obama, who's going to have $1 billion in the old war chest. It's about the money you can spend on the advertising, especially if you think you really have a, well, not if you think you have a shot, just everything. They throw everything at it. And $1 billion is a lot of money to raise, even if you have a lot of friends. But Sarah Palin won't really say. She's not going down the path of whether or not she's running. So ultimately, as it's unclear what's happening with the bus tour, will she jump at it? Will she take the bait? Will people, which people are telling her at the stops, run, 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 will she try to make a, you know, will she try to make a run at it as far as the Republican side is concerned? And, there are more and more people that are starting to throw their names out there as potential candidates to go up against Barack Obama. And, of course, we're tracking all of that for you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun leading up to this, I think, up to this campaign this time around. We'll see what the two sides are made of. Because I can't believe that you got to have $1 billion to run for president. $1 billion. You got to have some kind of friends that really know how to raise money, that they can get on those phones and they are hitting those phones. Because that's what happens both with the Democrats and with the Republicans. Anybody who is the chairman of both the Democrats and the Republicans, boom, they're working those phone lines now, trying to get some of those parties and whatnot together. It wasn't about parties. Sadly, it's about more strange twists in the trial of Casey Anthony, whose mother, Cindy Anthony, was on the stand talking about the strong odor that she smelled in the car that was ultimately gotten out of a lot. It was towed away, and it was taken out of a lot weeks after the car had magically disappeared, along with her granddaughter, 2-year-old Kaylee Anthony. Forever and a day, when you turn on the tube, you'd be hearing about, wow, the thousands of people are just feel so awful about this little girl. They are combing the woods. They are looking for the toddler. But nobody knew that she was missing for 31 days. How does that happen? How does nobody ask any questions, or they just sort of suspect something and nobody says anything? Casey Anthony was out partying, entering hot body contests, everything else, and her daughter was missing for 31 days. Finally placing a call about the daughter, and then the defense, after she ultimately is arrested and charged with the crimes of killing her daughter and now is on trial for that, the defense last week throws out the curveball that, well, wait a second, what happened was the little girl died, but she drowned in the pool, and the grandfather didn't want anyone to know, so it was covered up so that Casey and her father covered it up, and she was afraid to talk to anyone because she was abused as a kid. So who knows what direction the drama will continue to take in that courtroom. Ultimately, they only need one juror to not think that she did it. They don't have direct evidence linking her. All these things about the car smelling like it could be a decomposed body, that it was towed away, that she didn't call anybody, didn't call the police, that her daughter was missing until 30-plus days afterwards. You know, all these different things that play a part into what happened here. And will the jury, though, be able to say that without a doubt she did it, and will also she get the death penalty? This case in Orlando will go on for probably another 2 months, probably July, unless all of a sudden it gets some giddy up. And it's going to cost the people millions of dollars to try her. And I think you're going to see more interesting, sadly, more interesting twists in ultimately what it was, is another case of a little girl disappearing. And possibly, the way it looks to me, the mother just wanting to go and live her life and not deal with a small child. She was young, a young girl herself in her early 20s, and maybe this is what it's about. Although her defense team is saying absolutely not, that's not what the case is, and we're going to prove that she was just trying to do what her father wanted her to do. All right, here's another one for you. For all of you who are bike fans, remember we did a bike segment a couple of weeks ago when it was the Ride Your Bike to Work Day. Do you know that more than 33,000 bike helmets have been recalled on chin strap problems? And, you know, lots of kids now, I think it's just, all I see is kids with helmets. I can't remember the last time I saw a kid riding a bike without a helmet. But Bell Sports said that they were voluntarily recalling the bike helmets in the U.S. and in Canada because the chin strap could break. And, of course, then the helmet would come off. And what good would that do you? The company got a report of a buckle falling during an accident. It was a serious injury that had, you know, stitches for the person who was wearing it, and it could have been a lot worse. A car apparently swerved and whatnot. And these are helmets you see all over the place. I see them in the stores. They're in Walmarts, and they sell them on Amazon and whatnot. So if you have children, if you use these helmets, be careful. Make sure that you pay attention to the recall. Stay with us.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all the nooks and crannies in between. This is perfect music if you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, because it kind of brings you down, down, down. Unfortunately, the Mavericks up in flames against the Heat, final score, Miami 92, Dallas 84, but that hardly tells the story. How did LeBron James do? What happened to Dirk Nowitzki? What happened to the defenses? What kind of a game did this look like? How about down the stretch? Is this going to go seven? Do the Heat blow out the Mavericks? Nothing but questions, and who better to join us on the show? Let's pick his brain. Steve Budin. He is the CEO man extraordinaire, the Buddha, PickNation.com. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Well, I was at the AA courtside with my son tonight. I mean, it was electric. Obviously, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade combined for 46 points and used a late run to beat the Mavericks. But, I mean, all is not lost for Dallas. This is a game that, for all intents and purposes, Miami was supposed to win. But there just seems to be an air of confidence around these Heat right now that they just almost like Jordan in the heyday, where the Bulls just felt like they had to stay close till the fourth quarter and then they would step down on the gas at some point. I'm kind of getting that sense from Miami. And the big problem with Dallas is, and the problem that all these teams that have faced Miami is, that when Nowitzki sits down, it's very hard for the Mavericks to play the Heat. When LeBron James sits down, you still got Dwayne Wade and Bosh on the court and vice versa. That's a big advantage for the Heat as they continue to rest their superstars while leaving two out of three of the superstars on the court at all times. It's a tremendous advantage.
Yeah, so you saw that up close and personal. By the way, what was the sound like there?
You know what? I've been in much louder arenas. Miami's a laid-back arena. You could hear cell phones ringing across the court. It's not really known for crazy loud fans. These are new fans. These are fans that, you know, they haven't been around too long. 10 years maximum for a lot of them. So, I mean, it's a nice crowd. It's a fun crowd, but I would list it, you know, in the bottom 10 as far as loud arenas in the NBA go.
Wow, bottom 10. Okay, so having said what you just said about, of course, Wade and Bosch and being able to rest superstars and pull them in, what do the Mavericks, what does Rick Carlisle have to do, do you think, to counterattack this in this next game on Thursday?
Well, I think that, look, I mean, this game was not so far out of reach, and the Mavericks were in this thing and, you know, back and forth lead changes all game long. You know, there was a couple of calls at the end that went the Heat's way, added to their run. You know, a couple of strips. Nowitzki got some strips on Bosch, that, you know, that were, while it was still a 4-point game with 5 minutes to go, that put Bosch on the line instead of sending the Mavericks the other way on the break. If they would have gotten either one of those calls, could have been a different outcome here. I don't think that, Dallas is going to panic. I don't think they're going to now go into the huddle in between games and change their plan. I think that they gave themselves a chance to win in this game. Miami was too strong in the end, but I think they're going to stick with it, Dallas, and I think they're going to come back with the same exact game plan and keep themselves in the game and give themselves a chance to win.
Do you think this goes the distance? Do you think we see a game seven? What do you think happens?
Listen, in my business, we always root for seven games. We want as many games as possible. But the truth is this Miami team is very impressive. And I told you a couple of weeks ago when the playoffs started, I said I was gonna, you know, bet $1,000 on, you know, on Miami to go all the way just because I hate them so much that I wanted to collect $4,000. I have to have something coming to me in case they won.
Right.
But and I'm on Dallas in the series because I just felt that these teams, you know, were equal, and I felt getting 150 with equal teams, you know, was a good bet, you know, long term. And look, I'm always honest with you. I didn't have to tell you that I'm on Dallas, but I am on Dallas. And again, I don't think it's time to panic. If Dallas can somehow pull out game two, all of a sudden they're going home with the steal and they got home court advantage and are in the driver's seat. So again, what Miami did tonight was great and they look great doing it. But, you know, they're far from home. All they've done now is hold the first game at home, which they were completely expected to do.
Yeah. Do you think this is something that somebody asked me actually on the air the other night, and they wanted me to ask you about this. Do you think that we'll see the NBA shut down like we're seeing in the NFL? Because that's once the series is over, then that's what they're talking about. What do you think?
It doesn't. I don't think so. And the reason why is because they know that no one starts watching the NBA until the NFL is over anyway. So you have that whole beginning of the season that really doesn't matter. So the only one that loses are the teams and the players. You know the fans. They you know, you could start the NBA in mid-season. It'd be fine for the fans. We don't start watching until then anyway. So I mean, you know, it's not like football where you've got 16 games. That's all you've got. And every week that you lose, you know, you're losing, you know, close to 10% of your season. You know, it's a whole different ball game. With the NBA, so many games, such a long season, it makes it very, very hard, for the players to negotiate. I think they'll come to their senses. I'm more concerned about the NFL, but what'll be interesting is, I think if the NFL strikes and you go ahead and lose a few weeks of the NFL season, I think the most we've ever lost is 5 or 6 weeks in any strike. I think you'll see them move college games to Sunday. I think we'll have Saturday college football and we'll have Sunday games in college football. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that won't be so bad. At least we'll have something to do on our Sundays while these players are getting their heads together. And the truth is that the more popular the college becomes on Sunday, well, the more urgent it's going to become for these guys to make a deal.
Right. So I think, like you think, that there'll be some games that will – I think some games will be lost, Steve. I really do. But I don't think they'll let the whole thing go.
That we're moving in that direction. It's a shame.
Yeah, I think so, too. And because you think of, I mean, just all the people, just in general, what watching football does in the nation, and plus people who make extra money on the game, who people who forget
the
about
vendors,
just for fun.
The guys who sell the parking spaces, who live near the stadiums, the guys who sell the bottles of water up and down the street as you're coming into the parking lot. You know, how about the people that don't bet on the games, that don't watch the games, that the only joy they get in their life is to go to the game and sit and watch the game, you know, and you know, to put yourself in this economy where no one's making any kind of money like they used to make, and these NFL players are making more than they ever made. I think there's a disconnect right now between the American people who have all had to take cuts in their jobs, who have all had to, you know, learn how to live on less and live more humble and modest lifestyles. There's a disconnect between those American people and these football players who seem to, you know, never have enough. And we know that what's behind it. We know that they're driven by the unions, that if they didn't fight, there'd be no unions. If they didn't every year come out and say, hey, we're not getting enough, if the unions just agreed with everything, then there'd be no union, and they know that. So to a certain extent, they have to fight, and that's what's wrong with the system. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a huge disconnect because these players have made more than they've ever made. Everyone else is making less than they ever made, and these guys are striking.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens in Game 2 with the Mavericks and the Heat. Steve Budin, is always a pleasure to have you on ATN. The Buddha Man, thanks, man.
My pleasure.
All right, so you heard he was courtside with his son. I love what Steve Budin had to say about the fans, that most of them have been fans just 10 years max, and it's not a very loud place, like in the bottom 10, unlike a Madison Square Garden. That would be a very loud place to go and watch a game. And actually where the Mavericks play has gotten pretty loud. I would say that the fans were similar to the Miami fans, but now it's almost explosive. I guarantee it's louder than what he's described in Miami. All right, coming up on the flip side, we got some odds and ends for you. We talked a little politics at the top of the show, a little sports. Now what's happening in the heartland and in the rest of the nation, in possibly your backyard, what unites us all, of course, and what's happened now as far as Joplin and the tornado is concerned. The number of missing has dropped dramatically. You can look at that two ways. It's a good thing, and it's also a very sad thing. We roll on. Hang with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that billions are spent every year just for a simple drink of water? But it's the quality of the water that Americans are concerned with, especially after floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, and other disasters that routinely disrupt and contaminate water supplies. Safe drinking water is too important to leave to chance. That's why you need an AquaRain water filtration system. The American-made AquaRain is an essential survival tool that operates for just pennies per gallon. It lets you retrieve water from lakes, ponds, streams, or rooftops during any disaster and assures you of healthy drinking water. The stainless steel AquaRain's patented space-age ceramic and GAC technology uses microfiltration and gravity to purify water. No chemicals, no electricity, no water pressure needed. And AquaRain's cartridges last for thousands of gallons. AquaRain is hands down the best water filter on the market. Call 800-572-2051 or go to aquarain.com. That's 800-572-2051 or aquarain.com. Every family needs an AquaRain.
In horse racing, it's called the Run for the Carnations, or the third jewel of the Triple Crown, more in a special race held in New York each June on Sport Shorts with Nia the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Refrigerated Cookie Dough. Who would you bake some love for? Find fun and easy baking ideas at tollhouse.com. Kids love doing arts and crafts projects, especially when you join in. Try channeling all that artistic energy into the kitchen and bake up some creative treats together. Think of your art supplies as the frosting, sprinkles, and decorating gels, and use cookies or cupcakes as your canvas. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Belmont Stakes is actually the oldest race of all three races. The other two are, of course, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Over the years, the length the thoroughbreds have covered around the track has changed. The original distance, a mile and five furlongs in 1867. Today, the horses have to run a mile and a half. And would you believe, before 1921, the race was run, like in England, clockwise. Since then, the longest race of the three and the last has gone in counterclockwise direction. It makes sense. If a horse has won the Derby and the Preakness, there is no bigger race to watch. The first winner of the Triple Crown was Sir Barton in 1919, the last to do it affirmed in 1978. While the traditions at the Belmont are apt to change, one that's still around is the blanket of carnations the winning thoroughbred will be draped in for the glamour shot in the winner's circle. This is the Sports Princess for Sports Shorts. The Belmont Stakes. We'll do our own Triple Crown Challenge. It's the third leg of it. Of course, no horse is going to win the Triple Crown this year, but we still will have the challenge for the Belmont Stakes. Just a reminder to all of you listening. It'll be next week, as I'll be broadcasting live, actually, from New Jersey and New York. Most likely, it will be on, and in fact, I will make a command decision
The Triple Crown Challenge will be on Tuesday, June the 7th, because the race is Saturday the 11th. And Thursday we have a show from the UN, so we can't do it on Thursday. So mark it down, all of you Kentuckians, people from Michigan and Illinois, a lot of you chime in on that. Florida, a lot of Floridians sending me their guesses last time around for the Preakness. So we'll see what happens in the Belmont. And as we get closer, because we're a week away, I'll give you some tips on what's going on with the horses. It's such a long distance, as I said there in that piece, that you have to keep reminding yourself about that, the distance, the distance, the distance. It's interesting to see when the horse is cut out of the gate and somebody takes the early lead and then they take the first turn and the second turn and they're going around. And people get excited and think they're going to hang on to that lead, but it's not very often. A crazy horse like Secretariat, who wins by an incredible distance, you know, over 23 lengths it was, that's a rarity. And then there have been some others that have some pretty big gaps, but very, very rare. It's a tough, tough race. And it's interesting when you have a horse who makes it interesting because they've won the first two legs, then you might have the Triple Crown. This time, no Triple Crown. Have not had one, as I said, since 78 and Affirmed. The jockey on Affirmed was Stevie Coffin. And how long ago was that? Wow. All right, odds and ends, as I said, that's what we're going to go to here to fill you in on some of the things that have been happening around the nation besides Washington, D.C., and things that affect you or the buzz out of there. In Joplin, Missouri, the number of missing people has dropped to 10, at least on the official list. On Tuesday, they say that 123 victims have positively been identified and their relatives have been notified. Because remember, they've got these remains. That's the sad state of affairs there. And they have to identify them before they can officially make the call. They've got 146 sets of people, and that's been unchanged since the weekend. I mean, there is a chance that they might find one or two other people. But anyway, 10 unaccounted for, and that's significantly down. I think that's a good thing. What's very sad is the fact that this tornado that hit, you know, they rate the tornadoes, EF5, the strongest possible. I mean, this is the deadliest single tornado to hit the U.S. since 1947. And the good news was, on Tuesday, coming off of a holiday weekend, the Missouri governor, Jay Nixon, announced that the federal government is going to cover 90% of the cost of debris removal from the tornado. Because anybody who's toured the place, anybody, let's be honest, who's looking at a photograph, many of you I know have seen the video, it absolutely looks like the place is blown apart, just blown off the map. The usual percent, and I didn't even realize this, but found out, that you get is 75, if that happens. And then the state has to pick up the rest, or whoever the local municipality is, which would be, you know, Joplin. So the great news is, I guess, because they're, not I guess, it is, because the people are so devastated by this, that they're not going to have to pick up the cost of it. And you think of where we are in this country and the nickel and diming of so many things because of the crazy deficit. I mean, this was one place where I think it makes sense, certainly, to use the money. I mean, it's going to be an astronomical figure, though, tens of millions of dollars. And they've got, you know, the National Guard watching the removal of the debris, because you've got property owners who are piling up stuff at the curb and going through it. And they've got to probably, I mean, there's so much of this stuff. Think about that, the whole idea of the debris. There's so much of it. They're talking about, how do you get it out of there? They got to ship some of it probably out by train. I mean, that's because the first thing they have to do, how can you even rebuild? How can you get a city, an area back on its feet if you don't clear the wreckage away? So they have to do that. They've got to clear it first. If they have to put it on trains or do whatever, they have no choice. They being, you know, the contractors who have been hired to go through it with the heavy equipment, with the National Guard watching, there's no choice other than to remove it that way. Many people listening to us in Florida remember what happened with Hurricane Andrew, remember in the 90s, and how rough it was to try to clear up that debris. It's similar. Two different kinds of things, you know, the hurricane, the devastating hurricane, versus this single twister, the worst since 47. But same result. I mean, a massive amount of destruction, the loss of lives, and then trying to pick it up from there and figure out how you can get, you know, people back into their homes. You know that I'm a geek for this whole NASA thing, and I think you should be, too. You should be proud of these astronauts. There's something about it. There's something about going up into a shuttle. So the Shuttle Endeavour crew closed their doors, that whole payload door deal, because they're getting ready for a landing on Wednesday. And now you've got the last ship, the Atlantis, nearing the launch pad for the final flight. I mean, this is it. History in the making. Toast. Done. This is it for the shuttle. So the Endeavour coming back is a big deal, and the Atlantis going up for the last flight is pretty big. The Endeavour is, of course, wrapping up 16 days doing that service call at the International Space Station, and they're supposed to touch down right while we are, by the way, on the air, 2:35 in the morning at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. So the good news is the weather is expected to be perfect for the landing, and this is pretty exciting stuff. The primary goal was to for the next space shuttle will be interesting, but the primary goal for this mission was to deliver this what they call spectrometer particle detector. That sounds like a made up thing, doesn't it? And also a bunch of spare parts to the station. It doesn't sound so glamorous, but, you know, really it is. They made four spacewalks to assemble the side of the outpost. And it's been a project that 16 nations have undertaken together. That's why, hello, International Space Station. They've been doing this construction since 1998. And just as a reminder, because I said it was a big deal, they're retiring the three-ship fleet, the shuttle. High operating costs, there's no question about it. So now there's more money to develop some new spacecraft that can go beyond the space station where the shuttle can't go, higher orbit. But the space shuttle has really been, as was described by the Endeavour commander Mark Kelly, I love the description, the workhorse of the space program for 30 years. 30 years. How about that? Not everybody happy about the idea to scuttle the shuttle. Not at all. There was one former astronaut, Apollo 11 commander, you might have heard his name, Neil Armstrong. Remember the first guy to walk on the moon? He wasn't excited about the conclusion, and because they don't have a replacement ship ready to go. They're getting rid of the shuttles, and they don't have anything ready after that. So until the new ships are even ready, which will take some time, Russia will be transporting crews to the station, and that's going to cost about $50 million a person. Wow. So anyway, that's a good, I think, odd and end to end this segment on, other than to tell you the Endeavour returns with a new record holder. I didn't even realize this, but Mike Finicky, who previously had been on two long missions on the space station, will have been, you ready for this? This is so cool. He needs like a card, almost like one of those baseball cards. He will have been 381 days in space. That's more than any other U.S. astronaut. Wow, 381 days. That's a long, long time spread out over the course of several missions. All right, we were talking about tornadoes. What happens when you're in the situation where there's damage and your insurance doesn't cover it? Ooh, we'll find out next.
It could never happen in America, but it's happening right now. Gas prices are exploding past the incomes of millions of families. As gas prices and crop failures push high food costs, you can still get the best food on the planet from eFoodsDirect.com. Demand for food is high, but eFoods Direct has plenty of radiation-free food to meet your needs. With our new triple production capacity, you will get the fastest shipments of food in the country to help you get the most food possible. When you order three of any qualified pack, you will get the fourth one absolutely free. That's the buy three, get the fourth free food special. Your immediate order will not only freeze the present low food prices, but also guarantee your food availability. Folks, I'm telling you, it is the smart move to go to eFoods Direct right now and buy three of any qualified item and receive the fourth one free. Get the most for your food dollar by calling 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We have our days confused, speaking of confused, because of the Memorial holiday weekend. We kind of got turned around on a couple of things. Do you believe it? How does that happen? I didn't even have my trash out today. It was trash day, so of course my garage, I won't even tell you what it stinks like. Just think of New York when there's trash on the street, because I forgot all about it. So how can we forget about our man, our friend in Hollywood, Stephen Chouhet? He's got the best book, one of the funnest books I've ever read, Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. We were just talking about big movies coming out with the Pirates movie now. It's been out a couple of weeks. I talked about seeing Bridesmaids. I also talked about on Memorial Day the fact that we like to, some of us, and I do this, that we like to watch war movies. And Platoon made my list. And a lucky thing, we're going to talk about this. Platoon is on Blu-ray. Stephen, thanks for waiting in the wings. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
We've got our days confused. Did you know that it was Tuesday all day today, or did you think it was Monday?
No, I thought it was Tuesday, but you know, I work on holidays and weekends and all the time, so that's
easy to keep straight. Exactly. So Platoon on Blu-ray. Let's talk about that. That this should fly off the shelves, I would think, right? Platoon's a very popular movie.
Yeah, well, it is a popular movie, although you know, when you have the veterans portrayed in a way, some of the veterans in that movie portrayed in a way that was negative, you know, some people take issue with Oliver Stone's idea that they were pillaging villages in North Vietnam and things like that, which is something Stone swore that he saw happen. He had come out of the military in 1968. He had written the script. Originally, he wanted Jim Morrison of The Doors to star in it. Sent it to him. Jim Morrison apparently had the script when he died, but unfortunately, he never knew. Stone never got a response before Jim Morrison passed away, and his manager sent back the script. So it took years to make, about 18 years from start to finish. Went through a lot of changes. Very lucky to get financing. It was delayed long enough so Charlie Sheen got the role because he had been turned down for it earlier. Actually, Stone at one point wanted Keanu Reeves, who said it was too violent for him. He wanted Charlie Sheen's brother Emilio Estevez, but that didn't work out either. So finally, the timing was right, and lucky for Charlie Sheen. Now, the one guy who really made that movie, though, was Dale Dye, an ex-Marine who had come to Hollywood totally opposite politically of Oliver Stone, big conservative. I mean, on the set, the actors were calling Dale Dye John Wayne, and they were calling Oliver Stone Ho Chi Minh because of their political, their opposite political views.
Right,
One of the things that happened was that the Dale Dye convinced Oliver Stone that the actors should go through the type of training that a real regiment would go through. And so he took them out into this jungle in the Philippines, and he said, no more is your name Johnny Depp or Kevin Dillon. You're now your characters, and you're going to go through this. And he had them dig foxholes, and he actually simulated combat. And there was one time where he jumped into a foxhole. He pushed Johnny Depp out of the way. And there was another actor there whose name was Ivan Crane. And he said, quick, we're under fire. Give me a magazine. And the actor had purchased Time magazine from an airport in Manila and said, oh, here, like that. So it took a while to get the actors to understand what he was trying to accomplish.
Yeah, no kidding. And how many, I'm thinking of this when you're mentioning these names, how many people went on to pretty decent fame from the movie Platoon? It kind of launched a few careers, I think, right?
Absolutely. Charlie Sheen before that, what was admittedly, he talked about this, a little bit jealous of going out with people like Tom Cruise and Rob Lowe and being asked, what do you do for a living? And seeing them get tons of attention. And suddenly he was getting the attention that he desired it just blew up. Now, Johnny Depp, of course, he went on to do the television show 21 Jump Street, where he was actually miserable on that show. He never expected it to be picked up at all, and then he was stuck under contract for 4 years. When he got off that show, he actually compared his situation to Nelson Mandela. He said, I'm finally free, because he kept trying to get out of his contract. And the other actors, you had Tom Berenger and William Dafoe. Both of them sort of played against type. Usually Dafoe had been a bad guy and Berenger had been a good guy. And Oliver Stone reversed it for the movie. And they've obviously had fine careers, especially William Dafoe. But they were both nominated for Oscars. So that was a great accomplishment for them. And of course, Kevin Dillon's on Entourage. Forest Whitaker won the Academy Award for The Last King of Scotland. So there have been some who had really, really fine careers and maybe others who were a little disappointed. Tom Berenger, talked about that at one point and said, a lot of the guys never really were able to match their platoon fame. Dale Dye, though, the military advisor, he went on to do a lot of different movies, including Tropic Thunder, to give technical support for those films. So he really made a great career for himself. And obviously, Oliver Stone continued to direct movies and obviously do very controversial things.
Yeah. We're speaking with Stephen Shohat, as we do each and every Tuesday here on America Tonight. His book, Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Stephen knows Hollywood inside and out, in my opinion. Happy 89th birthday. You wrote me a note about this to a horror star, Christopher Lee, who he really was a star, wasn't he?
He is, and he's still working. You know, I mean, it's wonderful. He's going to be in The Hobbit, the new Peter Jackson film. He's actually, if you just go by box office, the most successful star of all time. You know, his movies combined have made more money than anything else. He, of course, he's in Lord of the Rings and the three latest Star Wars movies. I mean, he got his big break making these low-budget horror films in England, out in the country. The Hammer films, and they had a problem when he was in the movie Curse of Frankenstein because they had to put makeup on him, but they couldn't do the same makeup that Boris Karloff had when he played the monster, so they kept experimenting, and at one point he wanted to kill the makeup man. He's threatened to run him through with a sword, and the makeup man had disappeared off the set for a few days, and then, you know, he had a conversation with his co-star Peter Cushing, and he said, "This movie is absolutely terrible. I have no lines." And Peter Cushing said, "Well, you're lucky. I've read the script." But it turned out to be a big success despite their dislike of it. And then he started playing Dracula in other movies. And he wanted to quit, but he kept being told that if you quit, you're going to have a lot of people out of work. And so he continued to work at it. And he's probably the greatest swordsman ever in movies, especially if you watch The Three Musketeers and The Four Musketeers, which were made back in 73 and 74. I mean, he's just, superb at it. And unfortunately, when he made that movie, he got stabbed in the thigh accidentally and had problems walking. But it's great to see that he's still acting and going to be in this upcoming Hobbit movie.
Yeah, I'll look for that after you said that. I didn't realize that, but I will certainly look for that. Stephen, thanks so much as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week here on the show.
Oh, you got it, Kate. Thanks for having me, and I hope you had a very happy holiday.
I did. Thank you. I hope you did too as well. Yeah, it's interesting. I do like the horror genre. We've talked about that before here on the show, but it depends on the kind of movie. Like, some people would classify the Saw movies as horror flicks, which I guess it is, but that's not the kind I like. I like the flavor of some suspense thrown in there. Without the suspense, I mean, when it's just pure evil or kind of sick, twisted things that happen in your face, I call it in your face horror. That's not really what I like. I like the you have to guess kind of suspense type movies that are well done, and sometimes they're tough to find. We go through periods, I think, with cinema where you've got a whole bunch that will come out, and then it kind of dies off, pardon the pun, and then it comes back again. Right now, vampires, of course, are huge with the whole Twilight series and with books and whatnot. That's pretty big. I think that will change, and then we'll probably get back into another more suspenseful type era where you mix the two, the horror and a little bit more of the gotcha, you didn't think that was going to happen kind of thing. That's the best to me. That is the best kind of flick to see.